This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, our brothers and sisters, we continue with our topic of the three voices that speak to us and what to do about them. Over the last 3 weeks, I spoke about the first two, the voice of shaitan and the voice of our own nafs. Today, I will speak to you about the third voice, which if we heed and obey, then we can never go wrong. That voice is the voice of Ar-Rahman. The voice of Ar-Rahman. I don't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to us, but that it is the voice of our conscience, our innate nature, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, which can differentiate between good and evil. The question is, do we listen to it? To do that, we must connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. We must know Allah. We must feel Allah's presence in our lives and in our hearts. We must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above everyone and everything else. We must use our eyes not just to see things, but to recognize the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us. The amazing thing today is that thanks to the technology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, we are able to see His creation in such incredible detail as never before. But because we have not been trained to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation, we don't see the creation as His signs. And that is truly tragic. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how to educate. First, know the Creator, then research in the creation. The result is automatic and beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of reason, for people of intelligence. They are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying on their sides, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they say, O our Rabb, you have not created all of this in vain. You have not created all of this for nothing. You have not created all of this without any purpose. Glory be to you. Protect us from the torment of the fire. But instead of teaching in this way, we have separated science and theology and created a gulf between the word of Allah, the Quran, and His word in the creation. The word of Allah in the Quran and the word of Allah in the creation. Both are His ayat, His signs. That is why we have ulama who are ignorant about science and Muslim scientists who can't even recite Surah Al-Fatiha correctly and neither sees this as a problem. Three voices and three choices, but only one will lead to success in this world and the next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left us free to choose, but sent us guidance, both in word and in practice. He gave us example after example of what happens when we accept guidance and when we don't. Then He left us free to choose. He will respect our choice. My question to myself and you is, what do we want to choose? Islam is the name of acknowledging the relationship of the abd and Dara, the slave and his creator. This relationship exists for everyone. Every created thing is an abd of Allah. But the Muslim is the one who acknowledges this and accepts it and loves it and declares it and honors it and lives by it. This makes him or her very special, and doors are opened for him which are shut for others. He or she has special access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is listened to, he is helped, protected and favored. When he dies, the first question that he is asked in the grave is about this relationship. Mar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Who is your Rabb? The angels are not asking, who is the Rabb of the universe? They are saying, who is your Rabb? The person who honors this relationship is called a Muttaqi. And his attitude of being constantly concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every thought, word and action is called taqwa. This is the result of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above anyone and anything else, and brings with it special rewards. It is this relationship which, if it is healthy and strong, helps him in life, at the time of dying, and when he is resurrected on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about these stages. He said about those who have taqwa and fear to displease him, Jalla Jalaluhu, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah said, and whoever is mindful of Allah, whoever has taqwa, He, Jalla Shanuhu, will make a way out for them and provide for them from sources that they could not imagine. And whoever puts his trust, whoever puts their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He alone, Allah alone, is sufficient for them. Certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala achieves His will. Allah has already set a destiny for everything. As my Shaykh rahmatullah used to say about this state, where you will always be the exception because of your ta'alluq, your connection with Allah. He used to say, if you are connected to Allah, you will be protected. There will be accidents on the road, but you will not be involved. There will be financial loss in the market, but not for you. There will be disease, but you will not fall sick. The general rule of life will not apply to you. You will have a special status, and this will remain as long as your connection remains strong. This is the biggest learning, that our worldly affairs are linked to and influenced by our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The solution, if we find things not working out or going wrong, is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar and tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to seek His help. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. In Surah Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, seek your Rabb's forgiveness, for He is truly most forgiving. He will shower you with abundant rain and supply you with wealth and children and give you gardens as well as rivers. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, all of the children of Adam alayhi salam are sinners, and the best sinners are those who repent. Kullu bani Adam qatta, khayrul qatta'in tawwabun. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. About such people, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such people, people who constantly seek forgiveness, At the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the scene and comforted us. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَاللَّا تَخَافُوا أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ. In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely those who say, our Rabb is Allah, قَالُ رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, and then remain steadfast. To say is not only to say, to accept in our heart, to bring iman, to bring faith, and to believe that, and to be firm on that. Surely those who say, our Rabb is Allah, and then remain steadfast, the angels descend upon them, saying, do not fear, do not grieve, rather rejoice in the good news of Jannah, which you have been promised. We are your supporters and your helpers in this worldly life and in the hereafter. There you will have whatever your souls desire, and there you will have whatever you ask for. A welcome from the all-forgiving, Nuzulam min Ghafoorun Rahim, the all-forgiving and most merciful Allah. The key is to have iman, to believe and have faith, and then remain steadfast on it by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the blessed sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without fail. Then, at the time when every human being is fearful about a future he knows nothing about, Allah will send His malaika, His angels, with the promise of Jannah. That assurance is given to the person even as he or she is dying. What more can we ask for? This is the reward of obedience, and it is only for those who obey. Let us remember that our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that of obedience, ubudiyat, in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, called His sunnah. We obey Allah, and the way we do that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for those who die with iman, and may Allah make us among them, when they are resurrected on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha asa rabbukum an yukaffir ankum sayyiatikum ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. O believers, turn to Allah in sincere repentance, so your Rabb may forgive your sins and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow. On the day, Allah will not disgrace the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the believers with him. Their light will shine ahead of them and on their rights. They will say, our Rabb, perfect our light for us and forgive us, for you are truly most capable of everything. What more can we ask than to walk behind Rasulullah SAW across the Sirat with our bodies brilliant and glowing, emanating light, illuminating the path, just as the light of Iman illuminated our path in this life. For all this to happen, effort must be made. The rules are the same for any relationship or any connection. Clean the connector, connect, and spend time connected. Like any electrician knows and does to copper wires that he wants to connect, he removes all the insulation around the wire, he cleans the green copper oxide coating the wires, only then will the current flow through the connection from the source to the appliance. Our connector is the heart. We must purify it, tazkiyah, which, as in the case of the wire, needs a cleaner which can be stressful, even painful. That depends on how much oxidation of the dunya has covered our heart. But clean we must, if we want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our cleaning abrasive is istighfar and tawbah, to accept and acknowledge our sins and seek forgiveness for them, to make amends with those we wronged, to give sadaqah, to shed tears before Allah. Not easy, but without it, the current won't flow. The cleaning is not a one-time process, but like maintaining the seaworthiness of a ship, it must be done continuously and must be monitored closely to ensure that the rot doesn't return. It involves taking precautions, which means changing the company we keep, which is our biggest influencer. The other one is what we see, listen to, and read, which for most of us is our social media. Believe me, if we get these two right, half the battle is won. The rule is the same with building any relationship. Spend time with the one you want to have a relationship with. The more time you spend, the better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that very easy. Just think about this. To have a meeting with anyone, to meet anyone even remotely important, you must go through all kinds of procedures and processes. But to be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence, to meet Allah, you don't need anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Your Rabb has proclaimed, call upon me, I will respond to you. Surely those who are too proud to worship me will enter Jahannam, the hellfire, fully humbled, disgraced and humiliated. Ask and you will be answered. Ask with humility and sincerity. And then he said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. He said, when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is asking. When my slave asks you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about me, I am truly near. I respond to one's prayer when they call upon me. So let them respond with obedience to me and believe in me. Perhaps they will be rightly guided. All the la'alla, all the perhaps in the Quran is at a position of yaqeen, surely. What can we say about the generosity of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that we only ask about him and he says, I am truly near. I respond when they call upon me. He taught us the secret of getting his response, which is to obey him. Our relationship with Allah, as I said before, is that of ubudiyyah, honorable slavehood. That is why its symbol is the sajda. When we do it physically, mentally and spiritually, we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Kalla la tuti'hu wasjud waqtarib. In Surah Al-Alaq, the last ayat, which is the ayat of sajda, he said again, no, never obey him, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, continue to prostrate, make sujood and draw near to Allah. Wasjud waqtarib. Make sajda and come close. Don't obey shaitan and his agents, but obey Allah alone. Make sajda and come close. What can be simpler? Though we can call on him anytime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a special time to connect with him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in the Sahih Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, our Lord Almighty descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of every night, saying, who is calling upon me that I may answer him? Who is asking from me that I may give him? Who is seeking my forgiveness that I may forgive him? What are we doing at that time? Let's ask ourselves this question. Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, do you want something from me? Do you want my protection? Do you want me to forgive you? And we are snoring. Tahajjud is the secret of success. That is why it is the first salah that was given to Rasulullah as soon as he began his mission. Tahajjud is the salah about which Rasulullah said, may Allah bless the man who wakes up for tahajjud and wakes up his wife. And if she does not wake up, he sprinkles some water on her face. May Allah bless the woman who wakes up for tahajjud and wakes up her husband. And if he doesn't wake up, she sprinkles some water on his face. This is the dua of the Rasul alayhi salam for the people who wake up for tahajjud. First salah came in the 13th year, but tahajjud was there from the beginning. Surely, if you say you really want to achieve something, but you are not praying tahajjud and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, then you don't really want it. I advise myself and you to make tahajjud fard on ourselves. A second secret is dhikr. To keep focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through reciting His glorious names and attributes. The best way is to make it a habit to keep making tasbih and tahleel and tahmeed and takbir. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Tasbih, Subhanallah, Tahleel, La ilaha illallah, Tahmeed, Alhamdulillah, and Takbir, Allahu Akbar, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly in every waking moment. There is no need to count or to risk falling into riya by walking around with a string of beads. No need for all this. Just keep your heart alive with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say it softly to yourself. Keep your tongue moist with that. And remember that for every one of those words, a tree is being planted for us in Jannah. Visualize that. Think about that. I say, Subhanallah, a tree is planted. Alhamdulillah, a tree is planted. Allahu Akbar, a tree is planted. La ilaha illallah, a tree is planted. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, I met Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam when I was taken on Mi'raj, and he told me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey my salam to your ummah and tell them that Jannah has good soil, fertile soil and sweet water, but it is bare. The plantation of Jannah is the recital of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah and Allahu Akbar. And this is a Sahih hadith in Tirmidhi. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah said, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, or Allahu Akbar, and one tree will be planted for you in Jannah for each of these. And this is in Ibn Majah. In conclusion, I want to remind myself and you that whatever we clean from our hearts, when we clean our hearts and keep our tongues and minds busy and engaged in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us to what pleases Him, and we will be winners in this world and the next, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us, and especially to bless us and enable us to do our best in these 10 days of first 10 days of Zulhijjah which we are going through, and inshallah 3-4 days from now for Eid al-Adha. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that a beautiful day for you and me, and to help us to do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to accept our qurbani, our udhiya, the sacrifice, to accept our ibadat, and to make that day a day of great beauty and great happiness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.